So we are right in the middle of a new series called We Are the Church, and we started it in the first week of January, and then we had a great friend of ours, Paul Dury, who spoke last week on taking your opportunities, and I really pray you were blessed by that. And if you missed it, please go back and watch it. It was so good. And if you missed the first episode or the first portion, the first message of the series, then please go back and check it out. You can check it on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Facebook, wherever you listen to things, watch things. It would really be worth your while. But today I want us to say, we are the church, part two. And we're going to pray for it before we get into it. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and help us. Holy Spirit, we love you. We pray your blessing and encouragement on every person's life in Jesus' name. Amen. So we made this big point on part one that we are the church. It's not a building. It's not something you come to. It's who you are. If you're alive in Christ, it's who you are. Maybe in the Old Testament, it was more about the temple of God, but now we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and we are the men and women of God. And we got you this new word, or maybe we're bringing you a word that you knew before, but or we're getting you a word you've never heard before. It's called ecclesia, which is a Greek word from the New Testament. And anytime you read about the word church, it really means this word ecclesia, which means obviously people, but it means people that are called out. We are the called out ones. And today we're going to take it a step further and we're going to say to ourselves, okay, if we are the called out ones, how do we really live like this each and every day? And how do we live? And the Bible uses this key term, devoted. And we're going to ask the Lord to teach us what it means to be devoted. So let's pray for a minute. Lord, we just ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would enable us and help us. And we pray, move in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So how do we live as the called out ones? I think our desire is this. We want to understand what our new identity is in God, and then we want to step fully into that identity. Here's what it says in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. Think of a work of art. Think how long it would take to complete a work of art, a special work of art, or to make something beautiful, or to create something beautiful. It can take hours and hours and hours of time, and it usually requires the artist or the creator's best effort to create something fantastic. And God says, you are my masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he has planned for us long ago. You see, we have a new dad, we are part of a new family, and we have a new life in Jesus. This is incredible news. And for us as the called out ones, this is really important because we've got to understand who we are now. We've got to understand that we're not just the church of any old body, but we're the church of God. And we've got to understand our position in God, our identity in God, because as we understand this, then we can fully step into all that God has for us. And what I want to say to you is that it gets better and better and better because we have purposes, we have plans, and we get to worship Jesus and we get to serve him, which is so important. So as men and women of God, if you put your trust in Jesus, then there are plans for your life. It's significant. And really what we're trying to say in this series is we are the church, is that not only are you not the building, but the church is the people. But if we are the church, then wow, maybe there might be some more expectation on us. Maybe there may be some more responsibility on us and commitment on us than we first thought. And the idea of slipping in the background or feeling insignificant or feeling like you're not needed or required is really, really, it's crazy. And we hope and pray that by the end of this, if you haven't got it already, that you're beginning to think, man, that is crazy. I'm going to be a person that really gets stuck into the things of God. When we gather together, it's important. I've got to be there. I've got to contribute. I've got to pray. I've got to get ready and prepared. Because I am really a big deal in the midst of all that's going on. And so's everybody else. Because we're the body of Jesus. We're the body of Christ. And everything about us has changed. And our old version no longer exists. So maybe you were scared before, nervous before, lonely before, anxious before, felt worthless, sinful, all those different things. But now we are new creations in Christ, like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. All the old things have passed away. Behold, the new is here. And we are new creations in Christ. Wow. What an incredible reality. What an incredible foundation that we have in Christ. And so the question is this, then what are we called out to? And I wrote down just a few things today to try and help us. We're called out, number one, to belong to God, of course. But we're also called out to belong to this incredible local family or body or community or team or even gang, if you want to say it like that. Oh, and also a global one. We are part of something so much bigger. This is why when the enemy comes and says, you, well, nobody cares about you, you're this, you're that, you can go, no, 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 no. I'm part of something far bigger than you can realize, and I'm a vital part of that. That's really what the heart of God is, and what he's trying to get into our thinking, our heart, our spirit, is that I am really important in the things of God. I am really important in the body of Christ. I am needed, and so is everybody else. And if I'm not there, something's missing. Amen. This is who we are. We are the called out ones, the ecclesia of God, and we've been called out as living beings, as living stones into the things of God. We're called to worship him. We're called to serve him, and we're called to do it with all our heart. And then there are some foundational stones for us. And the first one is we're called to evangelize, because the minute we receive Jesus, the call of our lives is to go and give Jesus away to all the other people. We're to evangelize, number one. And then number two, we're not just to evangelize, but we're to live a holy life, because God said right from the beginning, be holy as I am holy. You're a holy nation. You're a holy people. I want you to live holy lives. And we're going to read about it in 2 Timothy 1:9, where it tells us this. It says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Or you might read it in your translation, a holy calling. But it means the same thing. To a life that is holy. To a calling that's holy. To a people that are holy. Because that's what makes us different. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This is not about trying to get self clean. This is not about trying to get in the washing machine and, you know, trying to get clean, clean, clean. No, this is about God does an incredible work. And he cleans us all the way through by his wonderful grace. This grace has been given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. I think one of the most important things that we've got to see as the ecclesia is this is a full-time commitment. This is a full-time relationship. You cannot really squeeze this thing in. You know, the idea of I'm just going to squeeze God in, or he becomes another option, or he becomes another part of my life. He takes over your life. He becomes all of your life, and all you have becomes his. And suddenly you find yourself, it's not you alone anymore. I am hidden with him. I'm hidden in Christ. It's everything. It's everything. And this is why it's a relationship and not a work thing. Because if it's a work thing, you get exhausted, you get tired. But if it's a relationship, well, it's perfectly natural that the more you fall in love, the more you realize that person's love towards you, the more you begin to give away. And a relationship with God is like no other. It becomes non-exhaustive. It becomes life-giving. It becomes incredibly life-fulfilling, because he's not coming with any needs whatsoever. And this is why sometimes our relationships break down, or they become in jeopardy, because the needs cross too far. Instead of it being 50-50 or 60-40, it can become 99-1. And you're like, I cannot cope with this, because you need so much from me, or I need so much from you, and the other person can't offer it. But with God, he can give it, and he can give it to the full. And so we are called to this holy life. And God's called us to live a holy calling, to live holy with him, and to help what us, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have this incredible grace. But can I just say this? Maybe you're already beginning to say it, like, but holy, it's like, oh, I'd like to be this, I'd like to be that, but holy just sounds like no fun, can't talk, can't shout, can't dance, can't be too loud, have to be reverent all the time, have to be quiet all the time, have to be serious all the time. And I want to say, no, it's not like that at all. That's a definition that you've heard from somewhere else or picked up along the way. And I want to say this for a whole lot of things when it comes to the Word of God. Be careful that our automatic conclusions and definitions are not coming from our own experiences or from what somebody else has told us or even what media has told us. But let's make sure that we ask, what does the word mean by this? Because sometimes the words that the Bible uses don't naturally translate to the words or the way that we associate them in our everyday goings. And this is a classic case. Being holy is not about being holy with God. It is not about being quiet or reverent. Are there moments like that? Of course. It's not about being like this, or being shy, or being no fun, or this. It's not about any of those things. At the heart of being holy is the heart of being set apart. We're to be different. And we're not trying to be different for the sake of being different. We're simply trying to be us. Like, what does the word say? It's like before you came to Christ, you were dead in your sins. You were in darkness and now you're in life. It's simply saying, let this newness out. Let this holy life out. It's already inside of you. It's in your heart. It's in your spirit. And the word of God wants to renew our thinking, but don't allow our thinking to dictate everything else. And if we believe what holiness is and it's not truly God, then that's allowing our earthly mindset or the mindset that we currently have to dictate to us the things of God in our lives. And I want to say to you, you've been called. You've been called to be set apart, to be different, to go against the flow, and to be like Jesus. And all of this is inside of us because the Holy Spirit lives there, and the Holy Spirit is God. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it incredible that everything you need, you already have it? It's just simply a case of walking in it. Now, the battle comes in the mind because our mind tends to doubt or become anxious or say, or stubborn. And so therefore we have to renew our minds by the word of God. And that's why it's so important. Romans 12:1 teaches us that we've got to renew our minds by the word of God. And so maybe part of what we're doing over this time is reminding ourselves that we need to renew our minds, that God's got better than we realize. And if we step fully into the things of God, we'll come devoted to them. You're going to realize that there's so much more. And you're going to go, why did I not do this before? I love the stories when people come to Vibe. And I'm just in this because our people are awesome. And this is why I can say it. When people first come to Vibe, they go, after the first day or two, or the first time they've been, or even in the first moments to come, they say this, why did I not come way sooner? Because they feel the atmosphere, they feel the vibe, come on. They meet the people, they experience the Holy Spirit, and they say, I knew I should have come far sooner. Or why didn't I find this place far sooner? And I love that feeling because they're not talking about a building. What they're talking about is the Spirit of God and the people of God. And we love that you're a part of this online, and we love that we've got people in the building. But really the magic or the special thing is us. It's not about the lights. It's not about the music. It's not about any of those. And those things are fun. It's about me and you and the Spirit of God working through us. And so here's the big challenge, as if there weren't enough challenges in life. But how do we live this thing out? How do we become men and women of God that are going to be called out, that are going to live after the things of God and going to find ourselves living like Christ? Well, here's what I want to say. We got to build a foundation of love. Or we got to literally allow the Lord to remind us of the love that we already have. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it in love and relationship with God. Ephesians 3:16 says this. I pray that out of his richest, glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your innermost being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that I pray that being rooted and established in love. This is us. We've been rooted and established in love. May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how deep the love of Christ is, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's like one of these sets of verses where God's just trying to jam every single ounce of, you got to know this, you got to know this, you got to know this. And I'm telling you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've filled you with love. Love is inside of you. Love. Don't allow our feelings to dictate that. Don't allow our emotions to dictate that. Don't allow our mindset to dictate that. If you're in Christ, you've been rooted and established in love. And it may just need to work all the way up to your thinking. It may just need to work all the way out to your mouth. It may just need to work all the way out to your feelings. But as you would be rooted in the things of God, this is going to happen. And it is a supernatural work from God. And this is what I want to say to you. Yes, we have a part to play, but know this. This is a supernatural work. It's a supernatural deposit in you in form of the Holy Spirit. And meanwhile, the Holy Spirit's working inside of you. And by his grace, he's enabling you and empowering you. And you're better than you realize. So start to meditate on these things. Put the word of God on your heart. Start to meditate on it. Start to worship on it. And allow the Lord to start to reprogram your thinking. Because if it's not matching up with this, then your thinking needs to change. Amen. And God will do it. And there's power together with others. And this is what the word's trying to show us. There is power together with other people. And we've got to know this. There's an incredible supernatural partner that we have. And it's the partnership with God himself. And that's the one that helps us in every season. Not just to feel comfort and peace, but to remind us that we're called out, set apart, and I'm here to do significant things for God. And so Acts chapter 2, we read it last week, or the last time we did this message or this series. It reminds us of, this is how we're going to get practical. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And when we look at the word devoted, this is where it gets real. This is how you would define what our relationship should look like, or what it's like, this belief for that, and what it's becoming. It's one that's radical. It's one that's set apart. It's one that is all in. It's one that I don't look at anybody else. I don't need anybody else because I am fully devoted. It's that look that a mom has towards her kids. I love my kids. I'm devoted to my kids. There's nobody like my kids. It's like my mom told me years ago when she taught for 30 odd years. She said parents would come at parents' evening, and if you said a tiny, wee, critical comment about their kids to help them to grow or to help them to get better, they'd be like, no, it couldn't be, because my kids are angels. And of course, what an incredible view to have for our kids. Now, it's not always the case, because I've been a kid. I'm still a kid to some degree, and I have kids, and I know that I want them to be angels, but they're not truly angels. Amen. Sometimes they are a tiny bit less than angels, and they're a work in progress. But there's a devotion towards our kids. There's a devotion that God has towards you. There's maybe a devotion that you have towards certain particular things. But our heart's desire is this, is that we walk longer and further in the things of God, and we allow the Holy Spirit to really move in our hearts and lives, we will find ourselves becoming devoted to the things of God and devoted to God himself, which is our primary goal. Devoted to him, fully in love with him, fully intoxicated with him. He's all that I want. He's all that I need. Sometimes you sing it even when you don't feel it. Sometimes you read it even when you don't want to. And sometimes you pray for it even when you don't expect it or think you can have it. But God begins to do this inside of you. And the devotion to these four things, the early church found that they exploded. It seemed so basic. If they would just devote themselves to the word of God, if they would just devote themselves to each other, if they would just devote themselves to communion, if they would just devote themselves to prayer, guess what? The early church just exploded. And the last couple of verses of Acts chapter 2 says that the Lord would add to the number every single day. Every single day people would get saved. And evangelism is our core concept. And it flows hand in hand with holiness. And as they devoted themselves to holiness, God would move in mighty, incredible ways. And people would just naturally get saved. This is the heart of God. And this is what he wants to do through us. And so my question is this. Without getting the condemnation, because the heart of this message is not condemnation, but it is, what are you devoted to? What are you devoted to? And maybe on the other side, it's like, have you been trying to do this God life without devotion? Have you been trying to do this God life by just trying to squeeze them in, fit them in, get 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there? Have you been treating them too little? Have you been just treating them like an extra to your life, you know, like an upgrade or a bit of time with someone else, instead of going, actually, I feel like already I've realized I should have been devoted to the things of God. Well, there's still time. But I wonder what you're devoted to right now, because I think it'll prove to you that devotion is inside of you. Maybe you're devoted to your work. Maybe you're so devoted to your work. Maybe you're devoted to your kids. Incredible thing to be devoted to. Maybe you're devoted to your girlfriend. Devoted to sport. Maybe devoted to money. Devoted to loads of other different things. There are incredible things that we can be devoted to. But I want to say this. Let's just drill in just for a moment. Let's say we're devoted to our work, which is we're all in, it gets our best, first and foremost, number one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Here's what I find with work, personal experience. It always wants more. It never gives enough. What if you lose your job? What if the work dries up? And what if you lose interest? It's not a really good friend. Your work is not really a good friend. What about our kids? And I know for some of us, kids are untouchable. Don't even mention my kids. You don't realize how important my kids are. I get it. I've got kids. I've got four of them. I think I'm going to stop now. But I get it when it comes to kids. Kids are incredible. But just like my mom said, and just what I realized, they are not perfect all the time. You get what I'm saying? And so if we need to get our needs met by our kids, we are going to be bitterly disappointed. Because they're going to let us down when they're younger, and then when they get older, they're going to move away. Hopefully, that's what we're praying for. We don't want our kids to be with us forever. That would make no sense. And so if we're getting all our needs met, or our biggest needs met by our kids, they cannot fill the void. Only God can. What about our girlfriend? And nothing wrong with wanting a girlfriend. If you're a guy, or if you're a girl wanting a boyfriend. But what I'm telling you is this. Again, devotion to your boyfriend or girlfriend is probably just going to get you into sticky water. It's probably going to get you into compromising situations. It's probably going to get you into places where you say to yourself, I can't live without this person, and they end up becoming Jesus. And if that ever happens, you're in big trouble. We need to get you to God straight away, because you're going to put way too much expectation and pressure on that other person. And they will eventually say, I cannot cope because you need so much of me and I can't do it. And I need some of you. And there doesn't seem to be anything left. We need Jesus. We need to be devoted to him. But the picture is proven. We're able to be devoted to things. In fact, we're able to be devoted to things all the time. We've got the capacity to be devoted. Maybe we just have to divert it. And this is the plan of the enemy. He wants to get us diverted from the things of God. He wants to get us caught up with other things that would make sense, that seem to work, that seem to fit. But I tell you what, if it's not the right part, it won't fit. Let me just tell you about it this week. Well, about a month, 6 weeks ago, I hit the button on my window in my car to put the window down when it was icy. What a silly guy. It didn't work. It snapped the cable. And for the last 6 weeks, I went to McDonald's a couple of times, felt like an idiot because I couldn't put my window down. I was doing drive-thru. And so I had to get it fixed. Got MOT coming up really soon. And so I ordered the part, and I said, I'm going to go for a third-party part because it's half the price. And the new one for out of Audi is just too expensive. So I got the third-party one. Brought it to the guy, and he says, it looks like the part, but when I went to fit it, I greased it up, I got it all ready, it just wouldn't fit. And the guys in the car parts place are going, it should fit, it's no big deal, we're not taking it back. And the guy in the mechanics is going, you can't fit it, and it became a nightmare. It was like World War, I don't know, 14. No one wanted to refund. By the end of it, I got a tiny bit of a refund, I didn't get the full refund. But guess what? I had to go and buy the part to fit it. I had to go and buy the part that fit it. And I want to tell you this, whether it be a window part or whether it be your heart, if you don't get God, no other thing will fit quite right. And for you to put your heart and soul into anything apart from God, nothing else will fit quite right. We see it all the time. Incredible relationships, divorce. Incredible jobs, you lose your job. Incredible kids, they leave you. Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, money, it will let you down. It is not faithful. Money will just take you more and more and more. Drugs, alcohol, addiction, it will just take you more and more and more. The only one that can truly fill the void, the only one that we should be fully devoted to is God. And the good news is God's built that devotion inside of you. Here's the trick. You decide who you're going to devote to. You decide who gets your heart. But I want to say this. Why not devote your heart to God? If he's the one that laid his life down for you, if he's the one that wrote you a book called the Bible with 66 books, basically saying from start to finish, I love you, and here's my master plan to save you, and not just save you, but give you everlasting life, and not just everlasting life, but purpose today, here and now, to do significant things in the kingdom. How good is that? Then why would you devote to anyone or anything else? It would be pure madness. And I don't think you're mad. I think you're a tiny bit crazy, but I don't think you're mad. So why not devote to the things of God? Devoted to God, put him first and to others first, and watch how everything else is going to flow. We started a fast about 12, 13 days ago. It just depends when you're watching. And we started this fast and we said to ourselves, this is an incredible discipline. It's about sacrifice, about giving up food, and whatever combination of food you do. Some people's doing one meal a day only. Some people are sacrificing one meal a day only. Some people are giving up sugar. Some people are doing Daniel fast. And I don't think anyone's doing water only, because that just sounds crazy. You got to be ready for that one. But what I've noticed is there's a high cost, an incredibly high cost. It's not something you want to do. It's not something you wake up every morning and go, yeah, I can't wait to fast. It's sacrificial. It's hard. It's difficult. But guess what? We're discovering it works. We're discovering after 12, 13 days, we can do it. It's getting better. Even our health's getting better. Our spiritual lives are getting better. And something is working. And I want to let you into a tiny secret. I'm actually getting out of bed earlier, and I love bed. I'm getting up at 6:30 every morning to spend time with God. And guess what? Over this last 12, 13 days, I think I've missed a couple. On a Saturday, I give myself an extra hour. How good am I to me? But what's happening is I'm getting an hour with Jesus every day, and it's becoming quality time. And I tell you what, guys, I'm thinking I have to keep this up afterwards. And I'm thinking that God's making it easier for me to get up every day. But guess what? I didn't think I was fully capable of it, but my heart said yes. My mind said, let's give it a go. And the Spirit of God is making it happen. How good is that? I think sometimes this is what we've got to do for ourselves. We've got to expect more from ourselves. We've got to jump out of bed. We've got to hit one snooze only. We've got to do something. I don't know what it is. And then trust the process of God because he's going to do something. Am I saying that I'm fully taking in every single moment of that hour with God? I don't know. I think sometimes I'm still a tiny bit asleep, but I know I'm getting better and better and better. And I know that God's word does not return void. And it's not up to me to understand every single ounce of it. If I pour it into my spirit and I pour it into my mind and I pour it into my soul, I'm convinced that God's going to do something supernatural. Because this is not just behavior change. This is not just me trying to do my best. This is the supernatural power and grace of God all over me. All I'm trying to do is make room. Amen. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make room. Fasting's absolutely about devotion. If you do fasting without devotion, it's just a diet, or it's just hard work, or it's just something religious. But fasting's about devotion. It's about, I love God and I want to follow his ways. And if he says this works, I'm going to trust him. Amen. If he says this works, I'm going to trust him. Is that not the heart of our walk with God? If he says it, I'll trust him. If it makes sense even for him, but it doesn't for me, I'm going to trust him. I'm not sure, but I'm going to trust him. This is the call and the daily walk of most believers. If someone tells you all the time they've got it figured out and they know exactly what God thinks, I don't know. Get them to lay hands on you quickly, because that's not my experience. It's like, I trust you, God. I don't always see it and understand it, but I trust you, God. I'm going to believe you. Here's some of the results of our fast, just to get you excited. We've had guys texting me, one of the guys in particular, and he said to me, Daryl, I'm becoming more addicted to the Bible app than all my other apps put together. I'm like, whoa, this is the work of God. It's the guy not long saved. This is the guy just hungry for the things of God, fasting, doing something. We get to hear from God. We get to experience his supernatural strength and breakthrough in part in a way that you wouldn't do before. We get to do it together. We're doing a 21-day prayer and fast Bible study together. There's 60 people on the group. Group people are contributing, praying. It's incredible. I know there's more people doing it, but they were just too technophobe to get into that group. You know, but they're in it. So I know there's more than 60. It's absolutely unbelievable. And I'm telling you this, there's something about togetherness. There's something about being there. Remember God said, be devoted to the teaching word of God, be devoted to being together, being devoted to prayer and devoted to breaking of bread. I think we all do three of those quite well. I think the one that we neglect so often is the together. We just think, well, it's just about what I can get out of it. And if that is the case, we're missing out on all that God wants to do. We get fresh purpose in this fast. We get fresh focus in this fast. And some of us have even started to say, I think I'm going to keep this thing going, as mad as it seems. But here's what I got to tell you. God says fasting is just too real. And after a period of time, you've got to stop it because it is non-sustainable long term. So if you're thinking like that, please stop it right now. You can't do it past 21 days or 40 days at the very most. You got to listen to God. It is not somewhere you live. It's somewhere that you visit, and you visit for a short time. And it does something incredible, not just in your life, but in the lives being affected through you and around you. Fasting is radical. It's absolutely radical. It meets the definition of devotion, absolutely. It's just a radical outworking of your faith, and God calls us to it. And I want to say to you that God's grace is upon you. And this is what I've realized so much over this fast. God's grace is upon us. God's supernatural power is upon us for this fast. That's why some people are going, it's just too easy. Can this be real? And then it gets hard some days. And then some people are going, my prayer life, it's just becoming electric. My devotional life is just becoming on fire. This is what happens in the things of God. And if you're finding it hasn't happened yet, keep faithful. Keep persevering. I'll ask the Lord to keep you strong, because it will come and it will happen. He's just working something through in your life, and it is on the way. It is on the way. Devotion to God is key. It's not impossible. It's more than possible. Otherwise, God wouldn't use the word. We've just got to trust the Holy Spirit. Here's how our faith can look. Sometimes we lower the bar. We set ourselves, you know what? If I just did a few minutes every few weeks, it'd be fine. If I just got to church once a month, it would be fine. And I say church, you know what I mean. I got to be with other believers. If I just sort of prayed every once in a while, it would be fine. But can I say to you, sometimes we lower the bar so much, it does us no good. We see no reward. We see no fruit. We see no benefit. I mean, you know what? If you don't plant a seed into the ground deep enough and water it and look after it with heat and light, nothing ever grows. If you don't tend to that flower bed, you're not going to have flowers. If you don't look after your kids night and day, they will not make it in the early days. If you don't treat the things you love, if you don't treat the people you love with tender heart and mercy, they won't be there in your life. You're not get the full benefit out of it. And it's the same with the things of God. If we're not devoted to each other, if we're not devoted to Him, we're going to find ourselves withering on the vine. We're going to find ourselves going, man, I tried to make it so easy, or I got lured into that it was so easy that I find myself back stuck in individualism. And we're called to be part of a body. You see, sometimes when we live like that, we'll struggle to get to the church, at any point in time. We'll struggle to meet with other people. We'll struggle to pray. We'll struggle to read. It'll all become a struggle. And the reason is because devotion's the key. You're more than capable of it. You're probably out doing it somewhere else. I'm just saying divert it. I'm saying ask God to give you this devotion. Ask God to give you a fresh heart, fresh perspective. That's why we're fasting. Sometimes you just got to snap yourself into action. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you need an electric shock just to get you going again. It's why so many people change when some catastrophic thing happens. But real change has to be a heart thing. And this is why we're rooted and established in love. Remember, for you, it's just writing it out. I'm rooted and established in love. Remember, for you, it's like sticking it up in the fridge and reading that every day and meditating on it. I'm rooted and established in love. I've got the capacity to be devoted to the things of God. If I can do it here, there, and everywhere else, I can do it for Him. If you can't do it here, there, and there for anyone else, then good news, you can do it for God, and God will enable you. If you're feeling low, ask the Holy Spirit to lift you. If you're feeling like you're not capable, ask the Holy Spirit to enable you. And watch how the grace of God begins to sweep. And get some believers around you and get some people around you and get yourself a part of something. See, sometimes people turn around and they say to me, look, it's just not working for me, or it's just not clicking for me. And I go, but did you get stuck in? Do you know what I mean? Did you get stuck in like the way you would for the football or something else? Or if you weren't able to get stuck in, let's be real, let's be honest and sad. And then let's pray about it. And then let's go on a journey, because there's something that can happen when you get around with a couple other believers or another believer and say, hey, would you go on a journey with me on this? I just can't do it myself. And suddenly the body of Christ begins to rise in your heart and around your life practically, spiritually, and you find yourself doing things you could never do before. So I say, let's raise the bar as we're finishing today. I'm part of a new family. You speak this over your heart. It's not just me anymore. I'm connected to the family of God. It's full of love. And I know I'm known, and they know me, and I know them. And it's part of sacrificing for each other. And because something better is happening as we work together. It will affect my entire life. I'm raising the bar. My relationship with God is going to affect my entire life. It's not just a Sunday thing. It will cost me my time, my energy, my money. Heaven forbid, it costs your money. It will cost us everything. And it will be the best life I've ever seen. Because as I follow after the things of God, even in the difficult days, I'll go, I'm so glad He's with me. Even in the moments of uncertainty or great loss or pain or grief, I'll go, I'm so glad He's with me. When we lost Nikki's dad the other week, you know what we both agreed and turned around to and said to each other? Number one, we're so glad He's in heaven. But number two, how could anybody do this without God? How could anybody do it? Can I tell you today, if you're a new believer in Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus, He's fully devoted to you. He's fully devoted to you. That's why He says things, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's 100% convinced of that, because He knows I'm fully devoted to you. And I believe that if we'd open up our heart and simply just go obedient and trust, you would find that God's obedience and devotion would start to come all over your life. And you would find yourself fully devoted to Him. Don't doubt yourself. Don't second guess yourself. Don't underestimate yourself. The power of God works through you. If we trust God with our lives, He will do something incredible in and through us. And you're already going, this just sounds too much. And I'm saying, allow the grace of God to touch your heart and just touch your spirit. And we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would come in just a moment. So what did they do? Four things. We're going to finish with them. They devoted themselves to the Word of God. It will change your ideas. It will change your mind. It will change your outlook. It will build you up and refresh you. Just begin to read the Word of God. Just begin to read it. Even if you don't understand it, even if you don't like it, just begin to take it. Sometimes we don't like medicine, but we take it and it makes a difference. Sometimes we don't want to do a certain thing, but we know if we can know that that's a good thing if we do it, we'll see the rewards soon. Just begin to read the Word of God, even if you don't understand it. Get a different translation. Help yourself out. Get around some people that can help you understand the Bible. But do something to get into the Word of God. Number two, devote yourself to the fellowship. Devote yourself to fellowship means you're not just there, you're taking part. You're not just part, you're not just taking part, you're in. Like, people know you and you know them, and you're engaging with people and you hug people. I have a friend that says this, he hugs everybody. We need to learn to hug each other better in the right spirit, not just for the fun, but just because there's something deeper in it. And make it fun, of course, but there's something deeper in it. It's a point of contact. There's something of the presence of God in it. There's something about love in it. Number three, devote yourself to communion. Jesus, the cross, and how much it costs. And watch how, as we devote ourselves to communion with God, whether it be in the secret place or the Lord's table or wherever we find ourselves, watch how it's going to grow and strengthen us. And then devote ourselves to prayer. Come on, there's nothing like prayer. Philippians tells us that we should be anxious for nothing. We could pray about everything. Wow, I love it. So guys, where are you today? To be devoted means to be all in, to hold nothing back, to be radical. Where are you? Don't allow this message to be one that beats you over the head. Don't allow this message to be, if I put 10 steps in, I'm going to get a better me. It's not about that. But there are practical things that we can do. There are spiritual things that are already at work in us. And if we just begin to agree with what God's doing in our lives and begin to go the right direction, you will find that God's going to move mightily. Come on, we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. I pray, Holy Spirit, come. Come on, wherever you are, just begin to intercede with the Lord. Just begin to pray. Just begin to speak in tongues if that's what you, if you're able to, you're filled with the Spirit. And just ask the Lord, come and move inside of me. Lord, I want a fresh devotion to you. And don't allow me to be distracted by anything else. I want to be devoted to you. And Lord, I pray for anyone who's never given their lives to Jesus. They don't have a relationship with God, so they can't become devoted to him. Well, why not today? And we pray that they would say yes to you. And as Romans 10 says, if we believe in our hearts and confess with our minds that Jesus is Lord, then we will be saved. And so, Lord, we pray for that right now, that they would say yes to you. Come on, if you need Jesus, just begin to say yes. And watch how he takes you just the way you are, and he begins to love you and encourage you and bless you. And you go on this incredible journey of faith. What an adventure. Lord, I pray for anyone that needs that right now. They're saying yes. Holy Spirit, move in all of our hearts. Keep us sustained in this fast. Keep us hungry for the things of you. And I know this. If we are hungry, we will be satisfied. Help us to make room. Help us to rewrite our thinking. Don't let us get hung up on other things that are more that we put in front of you. Help us to make you the most important person of our lives, and that we can trust you with everything in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.